Luke chapter 15. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 15 verse 1, then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. So the religious rulers just keep following Jesus like a heat-guided missile. And, you know, they're not interested in learning. They're interested in causing Christ to stumble, spiritually speaking, so they can discredit him. They don't quit easy. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and the scribe murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. You know, by this time in our Lord's ministry, there's nothing new. Okay, he's been doing this ever since the beginning. And his enemies have been complaining ever since the beginning. And they're just self-righteous hypocrites. You know, it's such a terrible thing that Jesus spends time with sinners. Well, he wants to turn them into saints. You can't win the lost unless you spend time with them. You cannot win some hell-bound soul to Jesus unless you develop some kind of a relationship with them. 3. And he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Shepherd cares about all of his sheep equally. He cares about one lost sheep as much as he cares about the 99 who are not lost. And that's how God is with us. He cares about sinners equally. He loves us all with an infinite love. 5. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You know the reason that a shepherd would put a sheep on his shoulders after he found them was to protect them. If a wild animal is going to get to that sheep, it's got to go through the shepherd first. So he will lay down his life for the sheep. And that's what Jesus did for us. 6. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. He's happy because that one sheep has been found and is now safe. The fact that the 99 sheep were all safe did not lessen his devotion to this one. 7. I say to you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Heaven explodes with rejoicing and happiness whenever a lost sinner comes to Christ. 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? She needs that money. So that one piece of silver is as important to her as the rest that she still possesses. So she goes out looking for it, man. I mean, she really gets the old candle out and looks in every nook and cranny. And God seeks after lost sinners, too. As if they're the only one that Jesus died for. He pursues them. He wants them to be saved. He wants you to be saved. Maybe you want nothing to do with him. That doesn't change the fact that he wants you to be saved. There's no accident that you're listening to this program. Maybe you've never heard that before, but it's true. Jesus died for you, and he loves you as if you're the only person who has ever sinned. 9. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And so again, all of heaven explodes into rejoicing whenever a sinner repents and asks Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. The angels rejoice. They're happy. They're happy because God is happy. Doesn't change their state. I mean, they're saved. They're in heaven. They're not going anywhere. But they love God so much that when they see that he's happy over the salvation of a lost sinner, that makes them happy. They love whatever brings joy to the heart of God. And that's the way it should be with us, and it will be with us. If we love Jesus, then we're going to want to do the things that he likes so that we can make him happy. 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided to them his living. So he took his inheritance ahead of time. 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. So that inheritance was burning a hole in his pocket. He couldn't wait to spend it. And he let loose. I mean, he lived like a high roller. 14. And when he had spent all there, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Because he was so foolish. He blew it all. And he didn't set anything aside for hard times. Just had one thing in mind. He was going to go full blast. 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. It's the only work he could find. And that was degrading work, because swine were unclean animals, as far as the Jews were concerned. You weren't even supposed to go near them, let alone take care of them. But that's what this fellow was. This was his lot. He lived it up. He lived in sin, and this is the price that he's paying. 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. He would have ate pig food. He would have got down in the mud and had dinner with the pigs. He was so low. But they wouldn't let him eat any of it. He couldn't even get bad. He was in such a terrible situation that he couldn't even get bad. He couldn't even receive bad. He was below bad. 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with the hunger. He started remembering home, and he remembered that his father treated his servants pretty well. They were just hired hands, but he took care of them. He starts wishing that he was a servant in his father's house. All of a sudden his dad doesn't look so unreasonable to him and doesn't seem like a killjoy anymore, which is why I suppose he left home. He left home to sin because he knew that his dad would not approve of it, and he didn't want his dad to see him. So that's why he went to the far country to sin. Well, his dad is looking better and better all the time because he was a decent human being. So he comes to his senses. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. First thing he does is confess his sin. He repents because he goes back home and he confesses his sin and even rehearses what he's going to say to his father. 20, and here he goes. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a far way off, a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Dad must have been looking for him, probably looked every single day for his son. He missed him so much. And yes, he had rebelled against his father's authority, and he had acted foolishly and sinfully, but that didn't lessen the father's love for him. And when we sin as Christians, that doesn't lessen our Heavenly Father's love for us. You know what he wants? He wants you to repent. and confess and return back to him so that you can have fellowship with him. That's what he wants, just like this father wanted that with his son. 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no more worthy to be called your son. So he started reciting what he had memorized. He rehearsed that speech. And he got to the point where he said, I am no more worthy to be called your son. The next words out of his mouth were going to be, verse 19, make me as one of your hired servants. Right? That was next up. But notice 10, 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. The father interrupted him. He never got to the point where he was going to say, make me one of your servants. The father wouldn't have bought that anyway. He wasn't interested in this man being a servant. He wasn't holding a grudge. He was his son who had come home. And that was the important thing to the father. Verse 23, and bring here the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Let's have a celebration. For this my son is dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be married. He just happy to have him back. Mistakes and all. 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. He's wondering, what in the world's going on? There was a party and I wasn't invited. 26. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. You know, what's going on in there? What's all the celebrating about? 27, he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. This brother was bitter. And he was angry that the father celebrated the return of his brother. So what does the father do? Leave him be? No, not anymore. Then he let the younger son be. The father ran out to meet that younger son when he was returning home, and the father went out to his older son too, trying to talk some sense in him. He doesn't want him to be cut off from fellowship because of bitterness. See, he cared about both of his sons. Verse 29, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgressed I at any time your commandment, and yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this your son was come, which has devoured your living with harlots, you have killed for him the fatted calf. Well, so what? The father showed him mercy. He didn't wrong this son by showing the other son mercy. He didn't lessen his devotion and his love to this son by showing his formerly wayward son mercy. 31, he said to him, son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours. You know, we could enjoy fellowship any time. I doubt that they did, because I don't think this older son even liked his father. 32, it was fitting that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You know, this older son could have had fellowship with the father at any time. I don't think he ever did. I don't think he wanted it. He was just outwardly obedient, you know, upheld a good reputation in society, but he had no love for his father. If he would have, then he would have been happy because his father was happy.